Welcome to the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. We hope you're encouraged by today's message and encounter God's heart through it. To find out more about us, visit lifechurchstpeters.com.
This morning I want to speak again. We're just concluding a series on family. We've been talking about family for weeks and months. And I love talking about family. It's the importance is huge to Jesus, to the Father, Holy Spirit. He loves family. He started humanity out in a garden in family. Family is so important, and building family is so important. The title to this morning's message is The Power of Us. It's the power of us. And this morning I woke up at 4:06 in the a.m. with three new verses that I hadn't planned on this morning. And so I want to share a couple of them. And if you were in the at the beginning of the prayer time this morning at 8:30 in the back room, they were sharing my sermon this morning. So thank you. Yeah. Preemptive. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. It's the power of us. And this is one, I think it was Rick Perryman started reading this, and then someone else started, I think it was, I can't remember who it was, started with the second passage. But Psalm 133, verse 1 through 3 says this. Psalm 133, verses 1 through 3, in the New American Standard, NAS. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brothers, gender neutral, to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head, coming down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, coming down upon the edge of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon coming down upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forever. And it mentions the Hermon and the mountains of Zion. They're separated by a couple hundred miles. And it's the scripture says, when people gather together in unity, it's like the impossibility of dew from here falling on the dew from there. It's not possible. And how do people live together in unity? At times, it might seem impossible. If you know anybody, you might have a challenge with somebody. People are funny. People are weird. People are complicated. And I find it interesting that the Lord says, how good and how pleasant. It's almost like unusual in this Psalm 133. When people actually dwell together in unity, the Bible says this, when it happens, he commands his blessing on that situation. He commands it. Not that it's unusual, but I think it's crazy unusual. That a group of people, different personalities, different agendas, different habits, perspectives, gender different, just two. Sorry, not going to get off topic. Just two. Can actually find each other and dwell together in peace. And I have found it takes work. If you are blessed this morning enough to be married, oh my goodness, marriage is amazing. Somebody was just asking me out front. I've been, yeah, amen. Hey, there's a happy lady. You must have a good man. Second best. A top, way top though, top 10, I'm sure. Top 10. Marriage can be challenging. Relationships can be challenging, but it's the power of us. Early in the Bible, in Genesis 1, 26 to 28, I love the Lord puts a man and a woman, and God says, let us make man in our image. Let us, the power of us. Sometimes it's the good, the bad, and the ugly with us, but it's the power of us. And Genesis 11, this is the second verse, it's the power of us. Genesis 11, verses 1 through 9, again, New American Standard, the power of us. The Bible says this, now the whole earth used the same language and the same words. Now, the whole earth used the same language and the same words. It came about as they journeyed east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. They said to one another, come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly. And they used brick for stone, and they used tar for mortar. They said, come, let us build for ourselves a city and a tower whose top will reach into heaven, and let us make for ourselves a name. Otherwise, we will be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. Verse 5 of Genesis 11. The Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, behold, they are one people. This is all negative, all people in sin. But the Lord says, I'm going to come down and see what these let us people who are all on the same page. I want to see what they're doing. Verse 6, the Lord said, behold, they are one people. And they all have the same language. And this is what they began to do. And now nothing which they purpose to do will be impossible for them. Why? Because they're in unity together, even for evil. But they're together. Verse 7. Come. Now this is the Lord. Let us go down and confuse their language, so that they will not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of the whole earth, and they stopped building the city. Therefore, its name was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole earth. And from there, the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of the whole earth. It's the power of together. It's the power of unity. It's the power of us. And the Lord looked at this early group of people, and they, with intention, said, hey, let's build something for us, to our own name, for our own fame. Let's build it to heaven. And God said, no. Nothing will be impossible for these evil people because they're on the same page. I find that amazing. God recognized the power of us. God recognized the power of togetherness, of unity. So powerful, so amazing. Is it okay if we read the Bible this morning?
Yes.
Amen. Ephesians 4, verse 1 through 7. The power of us. Ephesians 4, verse 1 through 7. This is Paul writing. Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling. Let me read that again. I implore you. I wonder what that means. To walk in a manner worthy of the calling. That's a walk in a manner worthy. I wonder what that would look like. I wonder if you were listening to them, what that would sound like. This is a father of the faith. He wrote so much of the New Testament, Paul, writing to a church, a collection of people, different agendas, different streams of life, different occupations, different gender too. And he implores them as a father. Walk in a manner, in a style, in a habit worthy of the calling with which you have been called. With, how is that? With all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another. But what if they're wrong? They need to be told they're stupid. What if they're just wrong and they're not stupid, they're just ignorant? They have to know the truth. I have to tell them, don't I? I have to correct them. Let me start that again. It's just so confusing. Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, Paul speaking of himself, implore, that's such a strong word, to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called. With all humility, that's a lot. With all gentleness, that seems like quite a bit. With all patience, Lord help me, stay out of cars. showing tolerance for one another in love. Being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit. Just as also you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Do you know sometimes people's gift is irritating? They don't think so because they're exercising it. Anybody ever get irritated by somebody else's gift? Liars. There's some. I did not call you a liar. You said you didn't raise your hand. The power of us. Ephesians 4:3, same verse, middle verse. Being diligent, careful, with all earnestness. Being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 10. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 10. The Bible says this. Now, again, Paul writing to a different church. Now I exhort you. First he implores, now he's exhorting. Brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all agree, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be made complete in the same mind and in the same judgment. Lord, that seems impossible. Just think about, just for a second, some of you live by yourselves, and that's okay. I pray that that will change, but that's okay. Maybe there's more peace in your home just by yourself. Maybe you have an advantage over us. But those of us who live with other people in the house, how in the world can this be actioned out? How can this actually happen? Lord, help you if that other person is a different gender than you. How? My wife has this amazing revelation and phrase that she uses with me. She may have mentioned it here, I don't know. But she'd rather have relationship than be right. She'd rather have relationship than be right. I don't know what that means. Is she saying that she'd rather me be wrong and she has a relationship with me? Sounds like it. That's a little hurtful. Very hurtful. The power of us together. How can it be? It's the beauty of living in a high-functioning and high-functional family, but understanding that there's so many people who disagree with you, see the same thing, but differently from another angle. It's like you're looking through the opposite ends of a telescope. How can we get on the same page? How can we be one in heart? I believe it does stop and start with what the Scripture talks about. Being walk in complete humility. Walk in love. Walk in tolerance with one another. Not worrying so much about being right. But does this person that I disagree with, do they actually feel my love? Or do they feel my correction? Is that the first thing and the foremost thing they're feeling is, I disagree and I want you to feel that disagreement. It's such a challenge. I find it, and I still find it amazing that God would put a man and a woman together and tell them to be one. How? Lord, that does not compute. Philippians 2, 1 through 4. This is so powerful. Philippians 2, 1 through 4. The Bible, the Word of God says this. Therefore, If there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, God bless you and me and us. If any affection and compassion, then make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. I wonder whose purpose that is. All too often, after 43 years of marriage, not that it's done, it's ongoing, I wonder how often in my relationships a really high priority of mine is me. I wonder how high my priority is me. Or is my intent to understand God's purpose, His intention, His purpose with me? Intent on one purpose, and it's the Lord's. I would love this human being that's around me, whether it's a child, whether it's a friend, whether it's a teacher, whether it's a freshman sitting there at my table. What are they doing sitting at my table? It's my friend group. Thank you very much. You didn't even invite yourself. Here's a question. This is way off note. Was anybody ever in school and you changed school in high school? Did you like that? Cece liked it. But you're you. Lovely in every way. Anybody ever change school in middle school? Anybody ever change school in grade school? Some of us, like Cece, just move from glory to glory. A whole nother friend group to embrace. Some of us were different. We weren't the CCs. We were maybe not quite like me, but it was such a challenge stepping into a new school, a new friendship group, knowing you're out. Everyone else knows everyone's names, but you don't know theirs, and they certainly don't know you. And just the feeling of dread. I remember getting on the school bus. It was dread going to school, because I knew no one, and they didn't know me. And when I went to school, all too often, we moved all the time growing up, and all too often, it didn't go very well. It taught me over time how to make great friends, how to make friends, but I just remember the feelings of insecurity, and I was unfortunately a really skinny, short kid. I've changed. But it's just when somebody reaches out and says, "What's your name? It's good to know you," and introduces themselves and invites them to eat lunch with you, invite them to an activity, invite them to a Friday night football game, invite them over to their house. It's the power of love, the power of us together. It's so funny when you look at certain couples and you think they all have it easy, like Cece. Life just comes easy for her. But many people in their marriage, in their relationship, they're polar opposites. If you're brave enough, are you a polar opposite from your spouse if you're married? David, put your hand down, son. We got that. Yeah, that was a little too quick. At least you didn't have two hands up. My wife and I were polar opposites. We are so different in every way. And she's wrong in most of them. She's not disagreeing. She's not here. Safe. Whoo. I'm sorry, honey, if you're watching. Polar opposites. You look at other couples, you think John and Katie. Really different. John and Katie Hooker. Kim and Chaz. They're not even sitting together. Look, there's a seat between them. By the end of the meeting, together. Stephen and Heather, they're together. Oh, man, and I missed it. I hope that was a gumball. Tomato. I'll take it. Polar opposites. How many of you have siblings? Anybody have siblings? Anybody? There's the hands. There they are, even on this side. Anybody have a sibling that's really different from them? Beth, you can raise your hand. You got a couple that I know of. You're in the same family, same DNA, same blood group, and you're so different. Why can't they just think like you? Because God loves you enough to put people around you and I that are so different. The Bible is full of relationships that are so different. Paul and Barnabas. Paul, he's a writer. He's a theologian. He's a thinker. He's combative. He's confrontational. He seemingly loves conflict. He loves to argue, the Apostle Paul. He just loves it. And God puts him with this guy named Barnabas, who's just an encourager. And he's friendly, and he's soft-hearted, and he's tender, and he's kind. And God puts them together. And you know what? They didn't do so well together. They had so much problem, a disagreement over a ridiculous issue, but not in the moment. Anybody ever have issues over ridiculous things? You're like, half the time in marriage, I don't even know why we're disagreeing. I forgot. All I know is I'm mad, and you're wrong. Lord Jesus, help us. Yes. It's the power of us finding center, finding each other's heart. But I believe with all of my heart, God loves putting opposites together. He loves putting people together who just don't see things the same way. There's a story in the New Testament. It's the book of Acts. It's in Acts 3, verse 1 through 6. And there's two disciples. There were 12 and 11, and there's 12. But these two are really different. One is John, and one is Peter. And Peter is impetuous. He just thinks without doing it. The Bible, the Gospels are full of Peter just doing crazy things. Impetuous. Just steps out. When no one else will step out, he steps out to the good, the bad, and the ugly. Peter's just out there. Mr. Experiential. And yet John, this other disciple, and the Bible actually says whom Jesus loved, I think he was probably closest in heart to Jesus. The Apostle John. These two guys, Mr. In the moment, Mr. Spontaneity with John, who thinks and prays and listens and considers. God put Peter and John together to work things out. And in Acts 3, there's a story about them. Acts 3, verse 1. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer. At 3 in the afternoon. Now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. And when he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. And Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I don't have. But what I do have, I give you. And in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." I believe, here's the funny thing about this man. He'd been sitting at the Gate Beautiful for years, begging. It was what he did. If you will, it was his job. That's not his job, but that's what he did every day. He was the same gate in front of the temple. As I just read the Bible, I think Roberta this morning was talking about reading the Bible and putting yourself into it. I think she was in the ark this morning. She was in lots of places. She's smelling the animals. I didn't understand that. That's okay. Confined space, not a lot of windows. Go for it, Roberta. But they're walking along, and I think, how many days do you think Jesus walked past this man? How many times do you think Jesus walked past this man? One time? 5 times? 50 times? We don't know. But this is where he was every day, at one of the main gates into the temple. How many times do you think Jesus walked past him? Do you think Jesus looked at him? This is what I think. I think Jesus walked right past him, and the man's asking for money. And I think Jesus probably gave him money. But I think Jesus didn't heal him in that moment for a reason. There's going to be a day when two of my disciples are going to turn this city upside down by healing you. And it's not going to be me who did it. It's going to be my disciples. Your day is coming, sir. Your day is coming. Because he wants his disciples to experience the same joy of seeing people healed and set free. I wonder how many days Jesus walked right past this man. Not because he didn't care, not because he didn't love him, but this man's day was coming. And he has these two guys, and Peter, Mr. Spontaneous. Always, he's the first and only out of the boat. He's running to the grave by himself. He's got John, but John's back there, even though John passed him up. Peter grabs a sword, cuts the servant's ear off. Peter's always doing stuff by himself. He's saying, Lord, don't go there. The Lord rebukes him and says, get behind me, Satan. You're like, Peter, calm thyself. But if there was ever one guy really into what he wanted to do, it was Peter. But I love, after walking with Jesus, Peter looks straight at the man, verse 4, and Peter said, look at us. Peter didn't say, look at me. I'm going to perform the miracle. Look at me. Peter's understood the power of the kingdom, the power of family, the power of it's not about me. Gentlemen, sir, look at us. God's here to perform a miracle. Look at us. Totally out of his personality. Totally outside of Peter's norm as a human being. It's the power of us. It's the power of family. It's the power of together. And great, but how? If you're new here, my name is Tom Kyle. My wife and I, we have the privilege of serving in this community. And those Sundays that I'm up here privileged to speak, I try and finish every time I'm up front with a great, but how? GBH. I used to go to church when I was young, and a guy would be up front or a lady would be up front, great message, and I'm like, I don't know how to apply that. How do I do that? And so it's a great, but how? It's application. Great, but how? How do I experience, whether you're 16 years old, whether you're 66 years old, whether you're at home alone wishing for somebody, or at home happy alone, whether you're in a challenging relationship with somebody. What do I do? How do I make unity? How do I get to the power of us when I have these challenges in my life? Great, but how do I do that? Here's the first one. Check my attitude. My attitude might be, I'm right, and that means you're wrong. Check my attitude. Is that a godly attitude? Is that the way of love? I'm right, that means you're wrong. If we differ on an issue, that means you need to change. If we differ on an issue, you must change. Is that the power of love? Philippians 2, 1 through 4 says this. Philippians 2, 1 through 4. Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, but with humility of mind. I believe it starts right here in my mind. What if I know I'm right? Do I need to be right, or do I want to be in peace? Do I want this person to feel the love of Jesus through me? But I know I'm right. What if that's not what's important right now? What if it's more important that they feel my love than my rightness? Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Oh my gosh, this is Jesus. This is what Jesus looks like. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also look also for the interests of others. The power of us. Second, GBH. Because of the force of my personality, in a relationship, because of the force of your personality, not mine, yours. You're the one that has a problem. Because of the force of your personality, I'm just going to concede it's not worth the fight. Anybody ever thought that in a relationship? Sheila, I see that hand. You can get saved and healed and whole right now. Kristen, I see that hand. You're in a relationship with somebody, and because of the dynamic, the power, the force of their personality, you know what? I'm just going to concede. You're not going to listen anyway. I'm just going to concede, step back, be right. Enjoy your rightness. It's not worth the fight. What if I'm the person that everybody's conceding to because nobody once has stopped fighting with me? And maybe I don't have a lot of friends and influence anymore because people feel I'm always imposing myself because of the strength of my personality on them. Maybe God's called me to have a wide range of influence, but because my personality is unchecked, people feel dominated all around me. And they've given up trying to even talk to me anymore because they know I'm not going to change. There are powerful people in this room, persuasive people in this room. Is that what people feel? Or do they feel the love of Jesus? Kindness, humility, softness of heart. If you're a powerful person, that's a gift from heaven. How am I wielding it? Because influence is leadership. And if I've lost my influence because people don't want to hear me anymore, I'm missing the call of God. I'm just going to do one more. I've got a couple to pick from. I'm going to pick a good one. Okay, here's my last one. Everyone said amen. GBH, great, but how? What happens when you don't get your way? What happens in a relationship when you don't get your way? Pardon? Pout. Okay, that's one option. Here's the other option. I'm going to withhold. I'm not getting what I want. You're not listening to me. So here's my reaction to you. I'm going to withhold what you want because I'm not getting what I want. I'm going to withhold love. I'm going to withhold whatever it is you're interested in, but you don't get it. I know we don't ever do that because we're mature Christians. Has anybody ever heard the phrase passive-aggressive? Yep. Oh, yeah. This is a great tool by passive-aggressive people. I'm mad, you don't get. I'm mad, I'm just going to withhold from you. Then maybe you'll come around. But I'm not going to fight you. I'm just going to withhold. Aren't you glad Jesus didn't do that with us? He didn't withhold love. He knew we're enemies of the cross, enemies of God, and yet he gave when we were enemies of his. He gave. And this morning, I'm not going to talk about boundaries and all that, which is so important in relationships. I'm just focusing on the power of us and the ability to pursue people for the kingdom of heaven rather than having my own way. Loving people who I know are super different. And it's the power of a Barnabas and a Paul. Father, I thank you for this family. I thank you for the power of difference. I thank you, Lord, that you put me in a relationship with an amazing woman who is so different than me, Lord, that I can see myself as I really am. I thank you, Father, that you put us in a church where people are so different, Lord, that I can see me in the difference. And I can choose love. I can choose grace. I can choose empowering them. I can choose making room for them. I can choose to see the gold in them. I thank you, Father, for the beauty of family, for the power of us, for the power of purpose, your purpose. Lord, help me to embody Philippians 2, where I consider others more important than me, that I might die, that Jesus, you might increase in me. Help this family be what we're called to be in the community, at school, and our neighborhood, at home, at work. Help me to put myself in check when I recognize I am an opinionated person. I'm a powerful person. I know I have a loud voice. Help me to put myself in check, Lord, that you might shine, that people wouldn't continue to withdraw from me the rest of my days. Jesus, that you would be what people hear, and not Tom with a megaphone. So bright, so loud, but people are repelled. Help me, Father, not to be passive aggressive and to withhold love from people, especially those closest to me, so that they feel my pain, so they feel my frustration. Help me, Lord, to be a giver of love and move into the power of us together. And when brothers dwell together in unity, gender neutral, when couples live together in unity, you command your blessing on my house. With my mom, who so irritates me, she just doesn't listen to me. If she just listened to me, Father, that we would choose us together. Lord, help me understand my mom. Help me understand my dad, who just doesn't get me. That your command, you would command your blessing on my home. Help me, King Jesus, help me to love really, really well. Thank you for family. Thank you for the power of us. Bless us in our going, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen. 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 Have an amazing week. Be blessed. Encourage somebody before you go. It's a wonderful week. As we heard from Roberta, God's in a good mood. Let's express it.
Thanks for checking out the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. For more podcasts and additional information, visit us at lifechurchstpeters.com.